I so enjoy these times. It really moves me, and there are many things that move me. Love of people, try to understand their culture, love their language. That's what God was teaching his church on the day of Pentecost. Love of people, love a language. And I always find it really moving when I hear songs that I know sung in a different language. And I can join in and speak French and Spanish and Portuguese and everything because I simply know the song. I'm aware of how much has gone on to prepare today, the food we're going to eat afterwards, the service that's been put together, all the rehearsals, all the practices, and I'm really, really grateful, and so are the church here. It's so enjoyable. So I'm looking forward to the tasty food afterwards. Now, when Nicole and I were talking about our different talks to the children and to the adults, Nicole said, is there a theme? And I said, well, I'm thinking about 1 Corinthians 12 and the body of Christ. She said, exactly what I was thinking about as well. So it's tremendous that those two things have come together. And I just want to give you three thoughts about the church being the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, be good if you had that chapter open. And we can take a look at it together. We heard in the children's talk and we heard in the Bible readings that the whole theme of this part of the chapter is that the church is one body. One body. And it's wonderful to see the way that God teaches us about the church. He doesn't give us a kind of large thesis or essay with points and subpoints and divisions and say, right, sit down in my lecture hall and I will teach you about my church. He doesn't do that. Rather, what God does is to give us pictures of what the church is, pictures that will inform our minds and startle our hearts. He says that the church is his bride, stunning and beautiful and head-turning. He says that the church is his family, caring for people of all different generations. He says the church is his temple, the place where people meet with God. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, he says the church is his body, his body. A human body with its various parts to produce something worthwhile and meaningful. It's a tremendous thing that God has made. Someone has described a human body in this way. The human body is the most sophisticated organism on earth. It is a scientific marvel, and much about it remains a mystery. The psalmist said we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you look at our first point, please, Hannah, you'll see in verse 12 that just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We are one body with many parts. Now that, of course, is biologically true of a human body. I'm told that the adult body is made up of 206 bones, 600 muscles, some might have more muscles than others, 600 muscles, and 5 vital internal organs, and up to 15 trillion cells. So many different parts, but one body. I'm told there are different kinds of systems in the human body. There's the circulatory system and the respiratory system and the immune system, the muscular system and the digestive system, the nervous system and the reproductive system. All many parts, but one body. So it is with the church. Replace muscles, bones, organs, and systems with teams, ministries, and gifts. And you see how the church is being so different is yet one. And there are many differences in the ministries in the church, exercised by different people at different times in different places. So there are those who can lead. There are those who can administer and manage and organize. There are those who can teach and those who can encourage. There are those who can give and there are those who can count what is given. There are those who care and visit and help. There are those who are creative There are those who open up their homes to others, and there are those who are good with older people, and those who are good with younger people, and those who can spend their time in prayer. We need all these different parts of ministry. We are one body, and yet we are different parts. And here at Hook, we've certainly got a diversity of ministries going on. And it seems just these past few weeks that about three or four new ministries have sprung up as well. And it's great to be part of a growing and an expanding body of Christ. But there are differences not just in our ministries and gifts. There are differences in our nationalities. And there are differences within our cultures. And there's even subcultures within cultures. There are differences in our abilities and ages, differences in our intelligences, in our backgrounds, in our conversion experiences, and in the football teams we support as well. Many differences, and some are right. All are to be accepted. Verse 12 again, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So there needs to be a unity and a joy about our diversity, but our togetherness. Many parts, many people, one body. And you know, unity and joy in church life depend upon three things beginning with A. They depend upon our acknowledging our differences, our accepting our differences, and our allowing other people to be different from us. Acknowledging, accepting, and allowing when it comes to differences in cultures and abilities and ministries and passions in church life is absolutely essential for a church to enjoy really good fellowship, unity, and joy together. See, when you don't allow people to be different from you, then things go wrong. When you want older people to do things they don't want to do, things go wrong. When you try to force younger people to do things that they don't want to do, things go wrong. When you insist that people dress according to your dress code, things go wrong. And when you expect people to get on board with your particular project and passion as if yours is all that counts, then things go wrong. We need to acknowledge our differences, accept our differences, and allow for those differences in our lives. You see, the church is counterintuitive. When you insist on people being the same as you, there's disunity. But when you allow people to be different from you, there is unity. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. That's our first point. A second one is this, please, Hannah. Every part is important and has a different role to play. Every part is important and has a different role to play. Look at verse 14. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And think back to the children's talk now. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, imagine it, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Paul lists here some of the organs and the limbs of the body. He says they're all important. They've all got their different function, but they're all to work together. And if you look at verse 18, it's an amazing verse when it comes to creation. For it says, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The human body is not an accident. It hasn't evolved into something marvelous like it is through a fluke or a chance. It says here that God planned the human body. He decided what the body would look like. He placed the parts just as he wanted them to be. Your body, your human body, is designed by God himself. He thought of it and he created it. And Paul says here that the body needs to work together. And we saw an example of that with the children's talk earlier on. The body needs to work together. You might have said, or you might have heard it said, but you've probably said it yourself at some point, is this: I'm so tired, I need to go to bed, but my legs are too tired to take me there. Well, then you've got a problem. Because your legs need to work together with the rest of your body to get you to bed. And so with the church as well. There is an interdependence in the body. Each part gives and each part receives. The foot bone on its own can do nothing. But the foot bone connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone connected to the knee bone, and the knee bone connected to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone connected to the backbone, then you've got a song. We need to be interdependent. We need each other. It's true in the church. We're not to be independent and just get on things our way. And we're not to be totally dependent and say everybody else should do things but not me. But we are to be interdependent. We need each other. And we need each other in fellowship, in real fellowship, to help us survive and thrive on our front line. You see, together with God, anything is possible. You might think that you've just got a very small part in the body of Christ. You might think that hardly anybody recognizes that contribution, and what you do, that small part, makes no difference at all, and it wouldn't matter if you gave it up. But together, as the different parts come together, your small part in the body of Christ is huge. Because we need you as part of the body. So the church is a body made up of many parts, and each part is important, and each part needs the other part. So remember that when you're going about your responsibility in church life, you're serving not just yourself, but you're serving the Lord through serving other people, no matter how big or small that part is. Okay, so all well and good. So far, all that we've said then can be true of any other organization, can't it? The principles of a body being a unit but all working together are basic principles for any business organization, any school, any hospital, any supermarket, or any sports team. They can all be based upon the principle of the body being one but many parts. So what's the distinctive thing about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the distinctive thing is amazing. Look at our third and final point, please, Hannah. And it's in verse 27. This is what sets the church apart from any human organization. Verse 27 reads like this: Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He actually tells us now, having worked through the illustration of the body, having gone through all the different functions that the teams and ministries and church do, he actually now drills it down to this point: you are the body of Christ. I don't know if you ever really thought about that. You're not just a body, we're the body of Christ. You know, when God sent his Son to earth, Jesus didn't come as a spirit or a phantom or a specter or an apparition or a nebulous life force or an essence or a thought bubble from heaven. Jesus came to earth in a real human body, conceived in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, grew up in Galilee, worked in Israel, and died in Jerusalem. He had a real human body, made up of flesh and blood and water. He was God in a human body, a real person in whom God lived. Colossians tells us that in Christ all the fullness of the deity lived in bodily form. And when Jesus Christ went about his life on earth, you could actually see God in action. So as his body moved, people saw God moving. As his mouth spoke, people heard God talking. When they felt the touch of his hand upon them for healing, they felt the touch of God through his ministry. When his hands ministered the healing that God gives, they felt God moving them. And when his feet took him to places to tell of God's kingdom, they saw God's feet in action. Now, this is amazing because God is a spirit. But in Christ, he becomes a man. And we see God in action. The body of Christ. As Jesus walked around Israel doing many marvelous things, speaking many wonderful words of grace, people saw and heard God himself. In Christ, in human form, we see God. Now listen to what it says again in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. That is amazing. Because after his resurrection, 40 days later, Jesus returned to heaven in his body. So where now can God be known, felt, touched, heard? The church. You are the body of Christ. It's we, the church, that now displays God to people. When we speak the words of God to people. When the church works, and when it helps the poor, the vulnerable, and the abused, and the rejected, it's God working through that church. When the church brings healing to broken lives, that's God in action. When the church brings hope to desperate people, that's God in action. When the church ministers grace to the most shocking of people, then that's God in action. You are the body of Christ. It's phenomenal. All with our differences, all with our abilities, with our cultures, with our nationalities, together we show the multi-grace of God in this world. And we've got the message of salvation. We teach good news. We minister good news. And when we live in unity, we show the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. One God, three persons. How can people know the Trinity today? Through a unified church. When we welcome people, we display the welcome that we ourselves have received from God. Through the church, God shows his grace and his glory, just as he did through Christ. You are a phenomenal group of people. You're the church, the body of Christ. So let us accept our differences. Let us accept our different nationalities. Let us accept our different cultures and the subcultures within those cultures. Let us accept our different styles, our different passions, ministries, and projects. Let's accept them. Let's acknowledge them. Let's accept them. And where we can, let's be part of them. And let's learn to love them. Here's the amazing thing that happens when you follow Jesus Christ. You become part of the church. And you too become the body of Christ on earth. Amen. Amen. Amen.